Hello, and welcome to the Follow Well Companies Ignite Leadership Podcast. Today, our special guest is Kyle Porter. Kyle is the founder of Guidepost Marketing, which is a firm that helps businesses develop and execute a clear marketing strategy. He's a Story Brand Certified Guide and a Digital Marketing Certified Partner, which means he specializes in helping businesses to communicate what they do very clearly across all of their marketing platforms, their websites, their emails, their social media channels, and more. For nearly a decade, he's been a local business owner. As well, he has discovered that no matter what the industry, business leaders face very similar struggles. They want to grow their business, but they're not sure how and what to say and where to get started. Lots of business owners and leaders are great at what they do, but they struggle to communicate the value that they bring to their customers in a way that's simple, clear, and compelling. So they turn to Kyle. He's helped dozens of businesses discover simple and effective ways to reach their perfect customers so that their businesses grow. So without further ado, let's welcome Kyle Porter to the podcast. Kyle, welcome to the podcast.
Rob, thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I gave the intro on you, but go into a little bit more detail.
Yeah, so I started a local business, a kids martial arts school in 2015, and really quickly learned that there's a big difference between knowing what it takes to deliver the service that your business delivers and knowing what it takes to lead and grow a business. And that was the lesson that smacked me in the face a couple of times. And so I had to learn, you know, I had to learn how to market a business, how to grow a business, how to lead a business. And that's kind of what I help folks do now is I take, you know, business owners and I sort of walk them through the process of how to market your business, how to communicate clearly about what you do, how to reach the perfect customer for you. And so I've sort of shifted from running my own business to now not only running the business, but also helping other folks do the same thing.
Well, you have been involved in some pretty impactful businesses. What's been the driving force behind you doing this from start to finish? What's driving you?
So for me, the purpose, and we talk about this at the martial arts school that I run, and I talk about it with the work that I do now, helping entrepreneurs market their business, is for me, everything is about helping people build a stronger future. And through the different efforts that I put in and the different things that I do, sometimes I paint with a different brush. Sometimes it's helping a kid develop more confidence. Sometimes it's, you know, teaching a kid how to be more respectful or more disciplined or more focused. And sometimes it's giving an entrepreneur a path to realizing their dream and accomplishing something that would have been a real challenge for them to do without that level of support. But at the end of the day, what it all boils down to is I'm helping make a future possible for them that would have been a real challenge without me. And that's, to me, that's the big motivator is not the specific thing that I do on a day-to-day basis, but you know, what kind of possibilities it opens people's lives up to.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, where do you feel to this point you've really excelled in life? And then I got kind of a follow-up question from there.
Yeah, I think that for me, it's my strongest point is in relationship building. It's putting myself in other people's shoes, you know, empathizing with what's going on in their lives. Because in order to really serve somebody, in order to really care for somebody, in order to really help somebody, I think you have to make an effort to understand what they're going through and understand the challenges that they're facing and help them sort of build that bridge from where they are across the challenges that they're facing to try to get where they want to go. And unless I take time to really understand, you know, exactly what's going on in their lives and, you know, the fact that they got three kids and the fact that, you know, they're stressed and working like crazy and they're trying to do this other thing. And, you know, if I put everybody into the same box and offer cookie cutter solutions to everyone, it doesn't really work for anybody. You know, it all boils down to making the effort, doing a little bit extra, going above and beyond and really trying my best to understand, you know, what each individual person I'm serving needs in that moment.
Well, you know, I think you just answered my follow-up question, which was, why do you do that? And it obviously it comes through loud and clear. You love people and you just love helping other people.
I do. It's really fulfilling for me, you know, to see things that I, you know, that I work on with people, whether it's, you know, whether it's the kids that I work with or whether it's the entrepreneurs that I work with, to see those things start to come together and to see those possibilities open up and those doors open. And when that light goes on and people go, I get it now. I see what, you know, I see what's, because it's a really overwhelming feeling when, you know, when you've got these big goals and you've got these big dreams, but you're kind of stuck where you are and you're confused about what, you know, what step to take next. And a lot of what I do from a marketing standpoint revolves around the concept of stories, right? Of helping people tell better stories. And because stories are this incredibly powerful way to captivate somebody's attention, to, you know, to get them to pay attention, to get them to tune in, to speak to them at a level that they understand and that's compelling and that's clear. And one of the key things about telling good stories is that over and over again, you see that people don't step into confusion unless they have a guide that is willing to hold their hand through the process and give them a clear plan and call them to action. People don't take action. They don't, you know, they're stuck. And when you're confused and when there's not that clarity, it can be this really defeating feeling. And that's what I try to help people avoid. That's what I try to guide people through.
Great. You know, this past year has been a truly challenging year for most people, for most businesses. What have you guys done to add value just in this last year, just with COVID? What have you guys done to really make a difference for people?
One of the things that, you know, that for me, it always goes back to this question that I feel like is such an important question, which is, what at this moment, what does love require that I do? If I'm going to love somebody, if I'm going to serve somebody, if I'm going to take care of somebody, what do I have to do in this moment in order to serve them, in order to love them? What does love require that I do right now? And on the back of COVID and through the midst of, you know, this incredible uncertainty that people have faced over the last year, the way you can love people, for me at least, has been to do all those things that I just talked about, to meet them where they are, to understand that their life looks different than it ever has, that they're under more stress than they've ever been under. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what the next day is going to look like. And giving people the grace to be flexible, to, you know, to give themselves a break, really, as much as anything else, because we're all navigating these incredibly uncertain waters. And, you know, I certainly don't have any more answers about, you know, how to solve the problem than anybody that I'm working with. But one of the things that I know is that, you know, I'm a big believer that if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, you go together. And for me to be able to just come alongside these people in whatever context I can. And that's, you know, that's in a business sense, it's in a personal sense, it's in, you know, it's in any relationship that you're in, is, you know, just showing up for people and doing the things that aren't scalable, doing the things that you can't build a system for. And, you know, reaching out with that call and just saying, hey, I was just thinking about you and how you doing and what, you know, what you got going on and what can I help you with? And, you know, let's go grab a cup of coffee sometime. You know, those kinds of things are a real source of comfort, I feel like, for people in a time where there's not a lot of things that are comforting. And it's gotta be a group effort. You know, it's gotta be everybody having that kind of mindset and being able to and willing to look out for their fellow man. You know, that's the way we get through this thing. That's the way we navigate it.
Well, you certainly do that every step of the way. You know, let's switch gears just a little bit. All of us, I'm going to make that assumption, all of us, I've not met a person yet that couldn't say this, but we all face those times where we don't either live up to our own expectations or we don't live up to the expectations of others. And sometimes these times can be the most challenging, but they also offer the greatest opportunity for us to learn and to grow. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about an experience like that, that maybe you've had, that you've gone through and how you came, what you learned from, how you came out on the other side?
I was actually just having this conversation. I have a daughter that's about to turn 8. And, you know, she's just getting to that age where she, you know, for the first time really in her life, she has, you know, really small expectations on her. It's you know, feed the dogs in the morning and get your homework done and, you know, really, really simple stuff. And like any kid, she messes up sometimes and she forgets to clean her room and she leaves her dishes all over the living room. And, you know, I mean, she does the things that the kids do. And I think that for her, she gets in this habit. This is what we were talking about. She gets in this habit of kind of beating herself up about it. And I can't believe I did that. And I can't, I'm so like, you know, and I think that the same way that, you know, as a dad, my job is to guide her and lead her and extend is also to extend grace to her, you know, and to say, this is a learning process, you know, that if you are fair with yourself and, you know, and show grace to yourself with regard to your expectations of yourself, you're able to keep moving forward. But I think when you start beating yourself up and you start looking at, oh, well, here's all the things I didn't get done and all the things that I really meant to do. And, you know, I've got this to-do list that's a mile long and, you know, I only got 3 things checked off. It's really easy to focus on the 17 things on your to-do list that you didn't get checked off and not acknowledge the 3 that you did get checked off that are actually making a difference for you. You know, and I'm really guilty of that. I'll be really ambitious with, you know, the projects that I take on and the things that I want to do. And, you know, and I'll set these big goals. And, you know, if I get 80% of the way there, then I'm bad about looking at myself and going like, oh, I didn't make it. But like, I could look at the other way. I could be like, man, you're 80% of the way there. You're so much further along than you were when you started, you know? And I think that, you know, for me, the biggest shift was making this transition into the marketing space and going from being a local business owner to somebody who's entering a completely different world. You know, I mean, I'm not coming at this with, you know, any real marketing bona fides at all, other than having run a business on my own and knowing what it takes day in and day out. And so it can be really easy for me to have those expectations of myself, like I'm gonna build this thing and it's gonna grow and we're gonna do all this, you know, all this stuff. But if you approach it, I think one person at a time, one interaction at a time, one relationship at a time, and you go, again, what does love require of me right now? And how can I serve this person in the best way possible? Then you don't really have any option but to keep moving forward.
You know, I was speaking with a group yesterday about a new series that we have. It's the Follow Well Leadership Series, but it's 2.0. So it's the second year. And we were talking about failing to success. Mm-hmm. And I use the example of Michael Jordan, who I think is the greatest basketball player of all times, hands down. And Michael says that on 26 different occasions, he was entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and he missed. And mm-hmm. So, you know, we all have those opportunities and those times where, like I said, we either our own expectations or those of others. And I think the word you use there is, you know, grace, just giving yourself some grace. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, what would you say are the greatest challenges that you're facing right now in, you know, whether it's dealing with COVID or, you know, new businesses that are starting? What's your greatest challenge right now?
So for me, the biggest challenge is trying to figure out, and I think this is something that a lot of people who are going to listen to this probably struggle with, because we all, no matter what it is that we do, right? Whether we're running a business or running a nonprofit or, you know, leading any sort of group, we go into it with these really high, you know, high standards of ourselves and this really, you know, this really deep, strong conviction and purpose. And want to make a difference, right? That's for a lot of us, it's the reason we got into whatever it is that we got into, is because we want to help.
Sure.
And sometimes the growth that you experience can come at the expense of what it actually looks like to be a part of that organization, you know? And so when the organization grows, it starts moving towards being this big organization that, you know, that you got all these layers and you got all the red tape and you got all the things that, you know, the boxes that you got to check. And it can be really easy to lose sight of, like, what were we doing this for in the first place? And, you know, so for me, as I grow a brand new business, I have to constantly remind myself to go back and stay grounded in what was this for in the first place? You know, what was I doing this for? Who was I doing this for? And why was that important to me? You know, because otherwise you start thinking about, oh, well, how many people do I need to hire? And what kind of, you know, what are all the, like, you know, all the numbers, you know? And I think that in my experience, you know, for men especially, and I don't want to generalize, but everything pretty quickly goes back to like, how much do you bench, you know? And so if we focus on the wrong metrics and we're not really looking at the things that we said were important at the very beginning, then it's really easy to lose sight of those things, you know, and you can kind of get into this sort of measuring contest, but you're measuring things that don't really matter. And that's a challenge for me. And it's something that, you know, I have to constantly remind myself to stay focused on the purpose and the mission and the vision of what I'm doing and not get carried away by the vanity stuff that doesn't really make that much difference. Certainly doesn't make any difference to the people I'm serving.
You know, one of my mentors and somebody that I follow and keep up with, just a great individual, is Quint Studer. And Quint Studer always says, connect to purpose. And I'm with you. It's so easy to get lost sometimes. And it's so important just to come back to the mission, come back to the purpose. Why are you doing what you're doing?
Right.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
Well, let me ask you this. So I had a couple of questions I was going to ask you, but I think this will kind of round it out for that.
Okay.
If you could pick one word that would describe you, it would describe your leadership, your style, what would that one word be? And I know that's a tough question, but what would, if you could just pick one word, what would it be?
Empathy. It would be empathy. And the thing about going back to the storytelling thing, when you look at these guides, these characters that show up, because there's, you know, and we can get deep into storytelling if you want, but there's a framework that stories tend to follow. There's a guy named Joseph Campbell that did a lot of studies on, you know, what is the structure of story. And one of the characters that shows up over and over and over again in stories is this character, you know, archetype called the guide or the mentor, right? So it's Gandalf to Frodo, it's Yoda to Luke Skywalker, it's Timon and Pumbaa to Simba in The Lion King. You know what I mean? It's Dumbledore to Harry Potter. It's all of these characters that show up over and over and over again. And their job is to help guide the hero through the transformation that the story is really all about, right? And in order to do that, the guide has to have two really key characteristics. And one of those is empathy, right? I have to understand where you're coming from, right? I can't take you where you want to go until I understand where you are. And for a lot of these guides, you know, that's sort of built in, because a lot of times they're speaking from experience. I've been there, I've done that, you know, I was a Jedi or whatever. And the other component is authority, right? They have to be able to take you where you need to go, right? They've got to have the ability to get you there. I always, you know, use the analogy of, if I go to my personal trainer and I say, hey, look, I cannot stop eating coffee ice cream, which I love. I cannot stop eating bowls of coffee ice cream every single night. It's like I'm an addict. I get in there and I make this big bowl of coffee ice cream, and I got like 20 pounds to lose because I can't stop eating coffee ice cream. And my personal trainer looks at me and goes, you know what? Me too. I can't stop eating coffee ice cream, and I got 20 pounds to lose. Then he's just demonstrated a whole lot of empathy, right? But he has demonstrated absolutely no authority, right? We can be buddies. We can go, you know, we can go grab a beer together, but that's not the guy that I'm going to trust to help me lose my 20 pounds, right? So the guide has to have both that empathy and that authority component. And I think that's a really critical thing to kind of, you know, for people who are leading, who are taking, you know, the heroes in their stories, the people who work, you know, with them or under them or above them, even, you know, as they guide them to these outcomes that they want, you know, keeping those two things in mind and remembering that a story is not about a hero slaying a dragon. At the surface level, the story is about the hero slaying the dragon. But what the story is really about is the stories about the hero transforming into the kind of person that can slay dragons. And as leaders, I think that it's really easy, again, to get focused on outcomes and lose focus on people. And that's where we really have to stay, is our job is to transform people, to lead them, to guide them, to take them to a place that they couldn't get on their own, not to lead them to a specific goal or a specific outcome.
Wow. I think you nailed it there. And that, you know what, that's what coaching is all about. And that's what you are. You're a coach. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, every single one of us has people that have shaped us, have molded us, and we owe a great debt of gratitude to for mentoring us along the way. And I certainly have a long list of those people. I'm certain that you do too. Most of us do. So can you share with us some of those people, whether you want to name them or not? And can you share with us, you know, kind of what you learned from them, what the big takeaways?
Yeah, two come to mind. One is my grandfather, my mom's dad. His name is Tom. He died in 2013. But I always tell the story of when he was 86 or 87 years old, and he lived on a big farm in North Carolina. And he had this big long gravel driveway. And every morning he walked with his dog out to the street and pick up the newspaper, and he'd walk back in. And it was probably a quarter of a mile down and a quarter of a mile back. Well, on each side of the driveway, there was this big ditch and, you know, a creek kind of ran next to it. Well, his dog ran off and chased a chipmunk or something into the ditch. And Tom, my grandfather, went after him, and he tripped and he fell, and he broke his ribs and he broke his wrist. And then, this is at 86, 87 years old, then he got up and he walked back to his house, and he called his son, my uncle, and he said, "Hey, bud, I think I might have bruised my ribs or something." Well, they took him into the hospital, and he's got like four cracked ribs and a punctured lung and a broken wrist. And I mean, this man is beat up, and you know, all that to say, just the toughest, most resilient dude I've ever met, but struck this balance between incredible resilience and incredible kindness and compassion, you know, and just in that way, very much a man that I admire and aspire to be like. And then my dad, you know, I watched my dad. My dad was in public office. He was a prosecutor for 30 years. And, you know, I watched him go through and see, you know, in the field of criminal prosecution, you see just some nasty stuff, you know, and I watched him handle these incredibly difficult, incredibly challenging situations with the same love and compassion that I was talking about earlier, where, you know, he's putting the focus on the families of the victims, and he's doing everything that he can to serve those people and to do justice and to do things in a way that's fair. And he, despite all the sort of slings and arrows that are coming at him, like he had a purpose, he had a mission, he had something that he was trying to accomplish. And he wasn't going to let anything divert him from that course. And that meant a lot, you know, for me growing up. I didn't really see it and appreciate it until I was older, but, you know, being able to look back at it now, I'm so glad that I had that influence of, you know, when you believe in something, you stand strong in your conviction, and you don't waver from it, and you don't give in to pressure to compromise your ideals, you know, for anything really. And standing strong in those values is something that, you know, that matters a lot to me.
You know, and the great thing about those mentors is, you know, for many of us, those mentors are gone from this earth now, but they're never gone.
Yeah.
They are always there to coach you and speak to you just when you need it the most.
Yeah. That's right.
If you had the opportunity to tell a younger Kyle to give some advice, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself to look out for or to do differently?
I would say fail hard, fail often, fail with enthusiasm, but the world rewards decisive action. And that when you put your mind to something and you decide to accomplish it, and you decide that it's important for you to accomplish it for a reason that's bigger than just serving yourself, you know, for serving a purpose that's greater than just you, that you move, you know, Mel Robbins talks about like the 5-second rule, where it's, you know, you count down from five and then you take some sort of action towards whatever it is. You know, you get up, you tie your shoes, you go, you know, you open the door, whatever it is, but you're training your brain to start moving, and you're training your brain not to overanalyze, not to, you know, not to try to plan out this perfect outcome, because you won't get there. And you can always adapt. You can always revise. You can always go back and change things. Before I opened the kids karate school, I sold fitness equipment to CrossFit gyms. So I would sell barbells and rigs and racks and, you know, all these kettlebells and those kinds of things. And so we'd have people that would call us and they'd say, "Hey, I'm opening a gym. You know, I need to buy all the equipment." And so I would go, at first, before I learned my lesson, I would say, "Okay, well, what do you need?" You know, and my expectation of them was, you know, that they would give me a list, and that always ended up creating this tension, because they're kind of going like, "I don't really know what I need," and I don't, you know, like, it's really hard to start from scratch and hit the ball out of the park and, you know, nail it and get it, you know, get it exactly right. So what I realized is that if I created this sort of template of, you know, here's all the things you might need, and I'll present this to you, and you can look at it, gym owner, and you can go, "Hey, maybe I don't need that many kettlebells, or maybe I want to get, you know, a few extra medicine balls, or, you know, a few extra dumbbells or whatever." But having a starting point that you can adapt and, you know, and change course from is way, way, way easier than trying to do it all perfectly the very first time. It's just not going to happen, you know? And I think there's a, you know, an old analogy about a plane flying from Los Angeles to New York is never, almost never exactly on track, right? What it's doing is making micro corrections all the way across the country, because it gets a little bit off course here and it corrects, and it gets a little bit off here and it corrects, you know? So very little of the time that the plane is actually in the air, is it actually on course for where it's going, right? But it's right. The corrections that you make when you realize that things are going in the wrong direction, those are the things that ultimately determine whether you end up where you're trying to go.
Yeah, along those same lines, it's always, you know, a good analogy. It's hard to steer a car sitting still. You gotta be moving. Mm-hmm. Are there some quotes out there that really, really inspire you?
I don't know if there are specific quotes that really inspire me. I'm really big in my, it drives my wife crazy, because I'll end up watching these just super weird documentaries about this topic that I'm about to tell you about. But what I love to watch is incredibly high performers, world-class performers in any forum. You know, there's a documentary that was on Netflix. It may still be up there. It's called Jiro Dreams of Sushi. And it's about this guy in Japan who has run this sushi restaurant for like 80 years. And he serves like 3 people a day, and it's got like 3 Michelin stars, and it's in like a subway in Tokyo or something. And it's just this incredible restaurant. I mean, what he did is he learned for like 40 years, he spent learning how to cook the rice perfectly. And then for the next 10 years, he learned how to source the fish, you know? So like, he's focusing on just these incredibly granular details. So, you know, there are not necessarily quotes that I go back to over and over again. I have certain, and I'd be happy to share with you what they are. I have 4 really key values that I stick to over and over again, that are sort of my core values for my life. But I go more in the direction of, who are the people that I can observe and watch their actions, rather than just listening to the words that they say.
Sure.
Because I see what it actually takes when I observe those things to perform at that high of a level. You know, so So for me, it's more watching what they do rather than listening to what they say.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, you're into sports and athletics. So let's focus on the mountain. What's the next mountain that you're going to climb on this journey that we call life? What's the one, what's next?
Yeah, I don't know, man. The marketing pivoting, because I really pivoted hard into the marketing company when COVID hit, you know, because I run a local brick and mortar, you know, we run classes. So everybody shows up at one place and, you know, we teach you and then you go home and, you know, all of a sudden overnight that dried up, you know? And so, I couldn't explain to my 2-year-old daughter that, you know, I couldn't buy groceries anymore because COVID's out there. So I got to figure something out, you know? And, so for me, I feel like I'm still kind of at the foot of this marketing mountain. Gotcha. And that's exciting for me, you know, because I feel like I'm really finding a place where I'm able to serve people in a unique way, and I'm able to create some really impactful results for them, and to, you know, to help people move their business forward and to navigate these really uncertain times. And, so that's exciting for me. I've got a third baby on the way. So that's fantastic. That's going to be a mountain to climb for sure.
Congratulations.
You know, and thank you. And yeah, so I think figuring out sort of the long term, I just turned 33. So figuring out sort of the long term, you know, striking a balance between, you know, between dad and husband and entrepreneur and, you know, sort of servant leader kind of thing. Like I don't think that's a mountain you ever get to the top of, but it's a mountain that's definitely worth starting to climb, you know?
It's all about the journey.
That's it.
Well, are there any closing thoughts, any leadership lessons, anything that you want to share with our audience that we haven't talked about yet?
No, I think I would just go back to, you know, for people who are leading, you know, for me, I know I mentioned my 4 core values, which are I always maintain or try to be joyful, loving, resilient, and bold. And for me to break those down, joyful means that situations can go either way. You know, I can focus on the 17 things I didn't get done, or I can focus on the 3 things I did, right? I can always choose to look for the positive in things, always choose to find, you know, the silver lining of the dark clouds. When it comes to being loving, it's understanding what people are going through, or making an effort to understand what people are going through, understanding that everybody faces their own unique challenges. Everybody's got their own goals, and I can't force my goals on anybody else. They want their life to look different than I want my life to look, and that's okay, you know? And so my job is not to impose some sort of arbitrary goal on them. My goal is to understand, you know, and to guide them to wherever it is that they want to go, and support them however I can. To me, that's what love looks like, is being willing to sacrifice, you know, of yourself to improve somebody else's life. Resilience is pretty straightforward. I mean, you're going to get through the process of being a leader, you're going to get kicked in the teeth over and over and over again. And you fall 7 times and you get up 8. And, you know, each time you fall a little bit better. And, you know, it's how long, as a leader, a big part of it to me is, how long can you hold your breath? You know, how long can you keep going when you don't want to keep going, and when it's really hard, and when you don't really know what the way out is going to look like? But, you know, I believe a way makes itself clear. And then bold, it's take action. It's, you know, you're not going to steer the parked car. You're going to be rewarded if you get off your rear and you move forward and you do the things that, even if they're wrong, you do the things that start to move you in what you think will be the direction that you're trying to go. And it very well may be that you open a karate school and 4 years later, you find yourself leading people and, you know, in their marketing. And, you know, I never could have planned this path for myself, but it is a direct result of showing up and taking action every day and finding things that I love and being willing to, you know, to try new things and be bold. So
awesome. When you're when your goal is to help other people, you know, everything else seems to come pretty easy, doesn't it? That doesn't mean it's easy, but it comes natural and it flows. And
that's right.
If people want to find out more about Kyle Porter, how can they do that?
So if you go to guidepostmarketing.com, guidepost like a sign in the road, you know, sort of the idea is we help show you where to go, you know, and so it's guidepostmarketing.com. You can read some of the articles that I've written. You can schedule some time with me. I offer anybody a free 30-minute strategy session if they want to, you know, even if they just, if they never hire me, if we never work together. I'm a huge believer in making connections and, you know, and making friends really more than anything else is, you know, schedule some time with me. Let's talk. I'd be happy to help you, you know, overcome whatever challenges I can. And, you know, if it's a good fit for us to work together, cool. If not, it's nice to meet you, you know? So, I'm really, really straightforward, really laid back. But guidepostmarketing.com is probably the best way to reach me. If you've got a specific question, you can just email me Kyle@guidepostmarketing.com. And, that's it.
Awesome. Well, Kyle, I can't thank you enough for being on the podcast today. I know that what you've offered is going to touch people. It's going to make a difference in people's lives. And thank you again for being on the podcast.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
So for the Followell Company and the Ignite Leadership Series podcast, this is Rob Followell saying, make it a great day.